The Rambam says, less Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. He says, Kol Sifrei Hanaviim V'chola Ksuvim Asidun Libotel Limosam Mashiach. Rambam says that all those form of the all the Neviim and the Ksuvim are going to be bottled in the days of Mashiach. Chutz Megillas Esther. Right, except in Megillas Esther. It's an unbelievable, remarkable Rambam. Varehi kayemes kechamishuchum sheitora uchehilchos Torah shebal peh she'inam b'teil ma'olam. The Megillas Esther is going to be, it was like chamishuchum sheitora and Torah shebal peh. That's never bottled. But the Sifrei Neviim, the Ksuvim will become bottled. So the Afal Pisha calls Zuchan Atzaris he bottled. Shenema kinishkechu Atzaris harishonos v'chinistru me'enai yimeya purim lo yivatlo. Shenema yimeya purim ha'il lo yavru mitocha yehudim v'zuchim lo yasum yizaram. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's take the first part of Rambam. So, of course, Machlok is Rambam and Rav. Ravid says, Amar Avram lo yivatl davar mikol asvorim. She'ein sefer, she'ein bo limud. Avol kach amro, afilu yibatlu shor asvorim milikros bahem. Megillah lo tibatel milikros b'tzibor. Okay. So Machlok is Rambam and the Ravid. It'd be interesting if we can understand the Rambam and understand what the Machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid is. Yeah. First of all, what is this idea of becoming bottle? That's what we have to understand. And even the Ravid seems to agree partially, because he won't read it anymore. And but the Rambam, what do you mean? What Sifrei Neviim should become bottle? What kind of an idea is this? There's an interesting chazal on the pasuk of Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu v'kiblu Yehuda Malayim Val Zaram. Val Kol Nil v'malayim V'lo Yavar. It's in Tess Chav Zayin. So Chazal say that they an interesting thing that they were kimu mashe kiblu kvar. That in Purim they renewed their whole Kabbalah Satera. It was a new Kabbalah Satera. Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Jews were makabel Torah meyira. Because God said, "Kafalam hakagigis," so they were makabel Torah from Europe, from fear. Afal pikein chazru v'kiblu b'mei Achashverosh, but they were makabel me'avo on the days of Achashverosh. So it comes out that Purim is an unbelievable. There was an unbelievable thing, event that took place that all of Klal Yisrael is makabel me'avo. It's a chazal, but it's like it's an idea that. Carries tremendous importance, and most people, like when you just see the, you learn through the Megillah, I mean, that whole idea is missing. You miss the whole concept. Well, we have to understand about that idea. Also, that idea sounds a little bit strange, because where do you see this whole thing? I mean, why were they Mekal Me'ava? So it's true that Rashi says, Tezos Me'avas Anes. Avas Anes, very nice. I mean, a lot of Nisim, it's Ryan. What about Kabbalah Satara, Mamad Asinai? I mean, over there it wasn't. Over here was different. On the contrary, if somebody would think of which nes would affect the person more, you'd say that the nisim that were gluing. Everybody knows that the nisim in the Megillah were really nisim nistarim, actually. Shem Hashem is not mentioned in the Megillah. Nisim nistarim. You could always say right away it was Derech HaTeva. So the question really is, this seems like a wild thing. I mean, a kimu v'kibler, a makabel v'me'av. And why? Why? Well, what's the whole reason for it? The main truth, they were brought to the brink of extinction. Okay, so now they were saved.
That's fair.
So I was wondering, you know, I mean, where do you see in the Megillah? I was looking, just looking around, just try to find the source for this concept that they were makabel me'ava. And I found one pasuk here, and a chazal in this pasuk, that I think gives the solution. Same thing. In the end of the Megillah, you have where they formulate exactly the how the Takan of Purim took place in the Megillah itself.
That's silly.
The Kibel Yehudim Eis Asher Echelu Lasos. Right, the whole thing there. The Vayichtav Marachas Dvar Ma'ela V'Yishasam Kol Yehudim L'Kayim Alim Yesim Yom Ba'asar Kayim Ashenachu Bem Yehudim Yaveim. The whole thing. The Takan itself was written into the Megillah. And the Kibel Yehudim Eis Asher Echelu Lasos V'Eis Asher Kosav Mordechai Aleim. Why? And here's the reason. Ki Haman ben Amdasa Agagi Tzorer Kol Yehudim Choshev Al Yehudim La Abdam Vipil Pur Hu Agoro Luhumam Ul Abdam Uvevoa Lefnei HaMelech Omar HaSefer Yashiv Machshav Torosh Choshev Al Yehudim HaRosho The Salu Osovias Bonov Al Ha'etz. Alright. Now it says like this. Al Kain Karal Yom Mele Furim Al Shem Apur. Al Kain Al Kol Divrei Geras Azos. And then it says, and right before Kimu V'Kiblu, it says, Umo Ro'u Al Kocha Umo Egi Aleha. What does this mean? Umo Ro'u Al Kocha Umo Egi Aleha. Oh! Umo Ro'u Al Kocha Umo Egi Aleha. It says an interesting chazal. What does it mean? Umoro Ose Hamasim Ho'ele She'asom. The people, the persons that were involved in this whole event. What did they see? Umo Egi Aleihem. Rashi is like this. Chazal. Ma Ro'ach Ashverosh Shenishtamish B'Klei Kodesh Umo Egi Aleihem. Shebo Sotin V'Rokad B'Neihem V'Horagas Vashti. That's one thing. Ma Ro'ach Homon Sheniskane B'Mordechai Umo higia elav, shetalu oso vias bonov. Next, ma ro Mordechai shelo yichra velo yishtachave, uma ro so Esther shezimna lahaman. An interesting thing. Interesting chazal. Because really, that's the whole essence of the Megillah is expressed in those few words. Al kain korol yom elapon shal kain o kol devei garasos. Umo ro al kocha mo higia elayim. That's the essence. What does it mean, mo ro al kocha? So Chazal say they give four things. What are these four things? You see, the pshat is like this, really. That over here, what happened was, it wasn't a nace like a nace gully. But precisely because it wasn't a nace gully, that's why it turned out to be the most important nace for Klal Yisrael. You see, what does it mean when they were makabal, the Jews were makabal at Torah and Har Sinai was meyira kof aleihem hakagigis? What does it mean? They said nasav nishma. What does it mean? It means like this. It means that one part of their personality didn't go along with it. They were in conflict. That's meyira. Meyira means when a person is in conflict. One part of him recognizes that's what he should do, but another part is rebelling against it. So he suppresses the part that rebels and he does it. That's meyira. Me'avon means that there's no parts that are rebelling. The person really appreciates it. Truly appreciates it. Now, a nace can all nisim guluyim can only do one thing. They can only instill yira. Because that's all they do. They teach a person that there's, whatever he sees is, reflects that there's a God and that this is God's will, so he must subordinate himself to that will. That's what it means, kof aleihem hakagigis. It means they recognize that they have to subordinate themselves to the will of God. But that's Yira. But over here, what happened with the story of the Megillah was a totally different thing. You see? There were no Nisim Gluyim. And on the contrary, because of that, it turned out to be the greatest Ness that Klal Yisrael ever had. Because it's the only one where they were Makabal Me'ava. You see? What happened was like this. They were really, the Gemara says, why did they deserve Kliya? Because they were involved in Suda Sachashverish. So they were really giving in to the Taivas and the social pressures of the society. Now, what happened was like this: when the nace unfolded, they analyzed the people that were playing roles in the nace, and then they saw something remarkable. And what they saw caused them to be oved me'ava. You see, and the analysis of those personalities is what resulted in a kabbalah me'ava, totally different kabbalah. Now, let's take one by one. What does Gemara say? Gemara says that they analyzed Ma Ro'a Al Kocha. What's the first Ma Ro'a Al Kocha? It means like this. Ma Ro'a Achashverosh Shenishtamesh B'Klei HaKodesh. You see, Achashverosh, the Gemara says Achashverosh was afraid to use the Klei HaKodesh at first. Because he thought that after 70 years, they're going to be Nigal. The only thing is that he had a wrong calculation with the 70 years, the Gemara says. So once he saw 70 years went by and nothing happened, so he took out all the Kelim of Beis HaMikdash and he made that party. He used the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the pshat? The pshat is they saw that Achashverosh was a person whose taiva can know no bounds. His taiva can know no bounds. So, but he was a little superstitious. So he was afraid something's going to happen. What about the prediction of Shivim Shana? He was a superstitious person. As soon as he saw that the prediction, according to his calculation, didn't work out, so he said, now there is no more boundary for my taiva. He was very happy. Brought out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. That was really the whole enjoyment of the whole banquet that he had over there. There's no restrictions. Complete taiva. Umahi gia e aleim shebas satan v'rokat beneim v'hargas vashti. So they saw, when they analyzed it, they saw how the unrestricted taiva never draws a limit. And it even caused him to kill someone that he valued the most, which was his wife Vashti. So they analyzed and they saw what happens to a person whose taiva simply has no bounds, that it's impossible that he should ever satisfy himself. On the contrary, it's going to cause him to do something which will go completely against what he wants, and cause him to be unsatisfied. That was the analysis of Achashverosh. Even though it's true, he got Esther, he's very happy with her. Yeah, but it turned out for the better. Yeah, but the point is they were chachamim. You see, they were analyzing. That's what it means. A more raw chacham, ma'igi aleim. Of course, you can say, yeah, what do you mean? So he was happy with Esther? No, the pshat is they were analyzing the situation. And they learned from the people that played a role in this nace. And they analyzed the Achashverosh in his endless type, and they saw, ma'igi aleim, what happens to him? A man like that finally kills somebody that he really cares for and leaves him in a total state of depression. So he was depressed. Then it says, what was the next thing? Maro homon sheniskane b'mordechai, umay gia elov shetolo osove as bonav. Then they analyzed Haman, whose ego knew no boundary, and they saw how it corrupted his whole mind, and how it played a role in his own downfall because of the fact that he was so overcome with his desire to be the greatest person. And I couldn't stand one individual, Mordechai. And because of that one individual led to his total downfall. It showed, in other words, Achashverosh and Haman showed how the irrational part of man's mind leads to his total destruction. That's what they analyzed when they analyzed Achashverosh and analyzed Haman. And then it says, the next thing was like this. Ma ro'a Mordechai shelo yichrav alo yishtachava. Then they took a look at Mordechai. And it's interesting, Mordechai and Esther, you see, were in the house of royalty. Here are two people that are right in the midst of the height of the society. And yet, they acted completely rational, right in the midst of the highest, all the social pressures, and they're all going, the whole distorted value system. And yet these people retain their total rationale when they act. So what did Mordechai see? Shelo yichrav alei yishtachava. Really, Mordechai's under tremendous pressure, and he was not only pressure; they could have killed him. He was in danger for his life, but he couldn't do it. Why? Because the Gemara says there was a tzelem on Haman, and Haman did it purposely because he wanted the Jews to commit avodah zarah. So Mordechai recognized that if a person gives up the source of reality, then his life is worthless. You see, then his life is worthless. And that's why he said it is better for a person to die than to give up the source of reality. Once he's away from the source of reality, his life is worthless. That's why he was Ma'ra Mordechai. What did he see? Here, man is an important person, Yeshua Shamelach. But nevertheless, it's all worth nothing if we have to cause a distortion in terms of God, in terms of the source of all of reality. And then, Ma Rosa Esther Shezimna Lahama. It's an interesting thing. Ma Rosa, what did Esther see Shezimna Lahama? What does Gemara mean, Ma Rosa Esther Shezimna Lahama? She invited Haman. So really the question is this, the Yalkut Shema brings down Chazal, many Chazal in this question. Ma Rosa Esther. I'll just give you one. First one. Rabbi Elazar Omer Pachim Tomna Lo Lelochdo. Shenemar Yehi Shulchanim Ufneim Lepach Uleshlumim Lemokesh. So then Rabbi Shua says the base of the Olamda that Imroiv Sonecha Achilei Lechem. If you go through all the Chazal, you see one thing. That the Chazal show one thing. That she used tremendous cunning and rationality and bringing about the downfall of Haman. You see? So, Ma Rosa Esther means that they analyzed Achashverosh and Haman on the one side, and then there was an analysis of Mordechai and Esther on the other. Interesting thing. Achashverosh with his limitless taiva, how it led to his downfall, and Haman with his craze for power. Power craze, egomania. how that led to his downfall. Then on the other side, there is Mordechai, who even in spite of the fact that his life is at stake, but he sees the true reality, and he can't budge. He can't budge. And then Esther, who in the same framework, operates in the same framework as Mordechai, using rationality. There was no nes. Was no nes, Goli. But she used rationality to bring about Haman's downfall. You see? They were able to see through two people, through Mordechai and Esther, they were able to see how the rational approach of Yadus leads to success. You see? That was the analysis, really. So on the contrary, because of the fact that there was no Nes Goli, that's why it led to Ava. If it wasn't Nes Goli, it wouldn't lead to Ava. Nes Goli, fine, I have to accept it. But over here, the Nes was brought about through certain people. And you see the constant emphasis in the Megillah on the people. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah L'Malach Achashverosh, last pasuk, and the emphasis on the personalities. Levoa Lifnei HaMelech Amar HaMasefer, and Mordechai Yotzel Lifnei HaMelech Ki Ish Mordechai Halech V'Gadol. The emphasis is on the personalities. Why? Because it was really when the people realized it was really two people that brought about the nes. When the people realized the way they lived, they were able to recognize that the nes was brought about through the way these people lived, through their lifestyle. They recognized that the value of their lifestyle itself is what is responsible for the nes. It wasn't an extraneous nes. And that's what led to the Kabbalah Me'avo. So because it was really, because it was a nes nister, that's precisely why. What Chazal are telling us is that the nisim that happened in Mitzrayim, that when nisim gluyim, they only have a certain type of effect. On the contrary, the only time that a person could reach Ava is through a situation where we could learn from the Derech HaChaim itself. They learned from the Derech HaChaim of Mordechai and Esther. That was the difference. What she did was rational. It says she brought him in lepach lamokesh to find some way. What she invited him for? She invited him because she was looking to find some pach lamokesh, something. She knew she was going to have to find something about him. Some way she'd have to snare him. So she has to invite the man to observe him and to study him and to find out how she's going to get him. That was a total rational thing. That was total rationality. See? That's total rationality. What? The funny thing is, they don't point out Ma Rosa Esther that she went in front of Ahasuerus. No, Ma Rosa Esther, she's in the Lahama. Why? Because that follows. There were two sides of Yadus. One side is expressed by Mordechai Yehudi, who recognizes reality and recognizes that without God, without the source of reality, simply there's no life. And then Esther, who acts practically based upon rationality, how to bring down the Russia. That's why she invited him. She didn't rely on Nisan. Esther didn't rely on any miracles. Esther said, now it's Pach L'Mokesh. We have to find out a way how to trap this guy. Invite him in, and she was working with cutting to figure out precisely how to snare him.
Plan to have the second party. The first party
was to study the situation. Second party. And then the whole thing, come with a person mocking him. But the whole thing was to trap him. So it was complete rationality that she used to bring him down. On the contrary, it wasn't a Nisa gully. She didn't rely on any Nisan. This was all worked out. So she complemented the Mordechai represented the Yesodei Ha'amuna. That's what Mordechai represented. And she represented how you have to live according to the Yesodei Ha'amuna. And that's what and Klal Yisrael analyzed it, and they saw it, they recognized that this is really the true life. That's why it was Kibbul Me'ava. So it was a whole different concept of Kabbalah Satara. Different than the first Kabbalah. First Kabbalah was because of Nisan. This is because of an analysis of what the correct life was, which is exemplified by two components, Mordechai and Esther. Amazing thing. And Rishus was exemplified by the other two persons, Haman and Achashverosh. So really, the whole situation was one which represented what Resha is and what the true Derech HaChaim is. Two components of Resha and the components of the true Derech HaChaim. When Klal Yisrael saw that, then they recognized they appreciated the value of the true life. That was really Kibbul Me'ava. Amazing thing. The whole idea of the Megillah being Benister is really precisely what's responsible for the Kabbalah Me'ava.
See?
There is no nace there, what we call nace. What the people usually refer to as a nace. Hashgacha? Yeah. Hashgacha, yes. But what people refer to as a nace, that wasn't really what... They weren't awed by a nace. People weren't awed by a nace. Different events that took place. Show the Hashgacha. Show the Hashgacha. But there was, in other words, no process of being awed by miracles. The process of being awed by miracles can result in yira. But ava does not, that the emotion of being awed by miracles is not the process of ava. The process of ava is analysis. Moro al kochom. That Haman and Mordechai are complete opposites. Because in Haman, the most important thing in the world is his own self. Whereas in Mordechai feels the least important. He's subordinated to a greater existence. All right, two opposites. Sure, that's common denominator. That there was those who live according to irrationality. That's Haman and Hashverish, and then you have Mordechai and Esther who have a total conformity to reality. Total conformity to reality. Okay, Mordechai exemplified it in the fact that he was Moser Nefesh. He wouldn't live unless he could be in line with the ultimate reality. And Esther showed how you bring about the activities. How activities are brought about rationally. Now let's go back to the Rambam. So the question raises now, why will the Nevi'im be butl, loss of lavo? The answer is, because the Kedusha of the Nevi'im is really dependent upon its efficacy. In other words, like this, the Kedusha of the Kisvei Kodesh, Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, is contingent upon its efficacy. The Navi really had a message that he had to bring to Klal Yisrael. And by saying the Kedusha of the Nevius was, by saying he was a Navi because he gave a message to Klal Yisrael. And that's the difference really that Rav Chaya said between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Nevi'im was Nitin Le'Omer. And Ksuvim wasn't Nitin Le'Omer, it's Fiksav. But both Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the Kedusha only derives from the fact that they are functional. They function. See, the Nevi'im didn't just speak for their generation. They spoke for many generations. Their generation heard them directly, verbally, but then it was Nitin Bechsav, and it was given for many generations. Now, if it's not necessary, if it doesn't function anymore, if the Nevi'is doesn't function anymore, it's not necessary, so then the Kedusha is gone. That's why the Rambam says that the Kedusha will be but the loss of lava. Because Nevi'im and Ksuvim talks about Dvarim Nistarim, about Yemos HaMashiach, about the Kates, those things will not function anymore, it won't be necessary. Since they won't function, the Kedusha will dissolve. What does the Ravid argue? The Ravid says, no, he says, because there are many Limudim that we learn out from the Nevi'im. The question is, what essentially really is a Sefer Nevi'im? The Rambam held that Sefer Nevi'im essentially is Nevoah. It's accidental that you derive certain halachas from it, but it's not really a sefer limud for halachas. It's not essential. Whereas the Ravid maintains that it's also a sefer limud. That's why the Ravid says it won't be nekroyim b'tzibur. Why the Ravid say it won't be nekroyim b'tzibur? Because kriya b'tzibur really is to teach. What do you kriya b'tzibur? Kriya nevi'im b'tzibur. Why? What's the halacha of kriya of being kriya nevi'im b'tzibur? It's not just a halacha that you're reading in Kisvei Kodesh. It's a halacha of actually repeating the Nevoah. Yeah, repeating the Nevoah. The Navi gave it once, and when you're Kare B'tzibur B'Navi, you give it again. That's what Dir Shoshem B'Matzah, you say on a Tainus. Why? Because it's Allah of giving Musa to the Am. So you see that the Divrei Anavim are repeated again when you do it B'tzibur. That's why the Ravid says he agrees with the Rambam partially. He says it's true that the function will become butl, but that will only stop kriya b'tzibur. But it won't prevent limud, because the Sifrei Nevi'im, according to the Ravid, are Sifrei Limud also. Whereas the Rambam maintains that that's just an accidental feature of the Sifrei Limud. Essentially, really, they're Sifrei Nevoah. And if the Nevoah is butl, so then if the Nevoah doesn't function anymore, it's butl. But why then? But the Megillah? The Megillah, the Rambam says, will never become butl. Why? Because in the Megillah, is a message of the Megillah is Oved Me'ava. And after Yemos HaMashiach, the difference, why did you need the Nevi'im really? All the Nevi'im spoke because the people were only Oved Meira. That's why they had, that's why the Navi came into the situation. And Navi is a part of the framework of Oved Meira. Oved Me'ave, only Navi. But Oved Meira, a person fails. Because Meira is, like Rashi says in Kriya Shema, a person that, ain't a Doma ever that works for his, Rav, Meira and Me'ava. If he works Me'ava, he never leaves the Aden. But if he works Meira, something bad happens, he runs away. So that's why the Nevi'im were there, whenever the process of Yira would fail, so the Nevi'im were there to put them back on the track. But Limos HaMashiach, where it will be Oved Me'ava, it will be functionless. So that's why the Kedusha become bottle. But the Megillah will never become bottle. Why? Because the Megillah expresses is a limud for the framework of Oved Me'ava. The framework of Oved Me'ava will exist Limos HaMashiach, so therefore it will never become bottle from Kisvei Kodesh. And that is a good question. The question is, the Rambam says v'cholak suvu. What about shirashirim? Shirashirim is me'ava. What about shirashirim? The Rambam means the kedusha is bottle. The kedusha is kisvei kodesh is bottle. The answer for shirashirim is because shirashirim is really loss of lava. That's the climax of the whole shirashirim is loss of lava. Shirashirim is like a story between God and Klal Yisrael from Yitzias Mitzrayim till Yimos HaMashiach. Once that occurs, that's it. Mishlei is Musar. Musar is always working against the other emotions. You don't have those emotions, you have Me'ava, so then you don't need it anymore. Kehelis is a separate thing. Kehelis, you have to understand what Kehelis is. You have to understand why it's Baal. The Ram's not saying they're going to throw out the Nevi'im Niksu. The Ram's saying that the Kedusha will be Batal. The Kedusha will be Batal. Exactly. Really, there was two Kabbalah Satara. There was two Kabbalah Satara. One was a Maimon HaSinai, and one was Mei Mordechai Vester. That Kabbalah, the second Kabbalah is Kabbalah Me'ava. That can't become Bottle.
Why?
It's the only time is that you have Shikras is on Purim. Pilos. So I want to say that, I mean, you know, sure, that it reflects the state of Oved Me'ava. Because in the state of Oved Me'ava, there is no opposing force. The personality works naturally towards the good. See, there's no... There is no conscience. No conscience there. And the drunken state is a removal of the conscience. That's why the drunken state represents, reflects the state of the... It's like the other Me'ava in the same sense. Of course, the objectives are different. But basically, the halacha is, I mean, it's halacha and mishnah, really. Halacha, it's halacha and mishnah. It's halacha and mishnah requires shikras. It's halacha and mishnah. So that's why the Shem Hashem is not in the Megillah. Actually, the Megillah really is not a nace. It's not really a nace. But anyways, the thing is like this. You see, according to the Rambam, really, when people live a certain way, so then they're in line with the Ashgacha. The Megillah is really a natural result of the perfection of Mordechai and Esther and the Hashgacha. It's an interplay between the people and the Hashgacha. And that's the way, that's a natural thing. It's something which came, the Nes of Purim really came from Mordechai and Esther. They were the ones that brought it about. See? Whereas the Nisim in Mitzrayim and the other Nisim was because of God's will. In other words, God wanted that the nation should exist. So therefore, he produced certain nisim that should come about, should come into existence. But that wasn't, the people didn't bring it about. It was God that brought it about. People were just passive. And that's why that type of a situation doesn't affect the person. It's just external to the person. But Mordechai and Esther was the people that brought about the Ashgacha. That's why I see everything was planned. And you see by Esther, everything was worked out. They didn't rely on any nace. They never had in mind even to rely on it. Look at the whole Sefer HaMaisa. You see, there was never any mention of relying on an nace. Let's see, you know, Klal Yisrael is going to be saved magically somehow. No such thing. No such assumption. The whole idea of the Tainus was that if we perfect ourselves to the right degree, and we'll be on the proper level, then the Ashgacha can relate. Then the Ashgacha can relate to us. But it wasn't an idea of relying on a miracle. No, it wasn't a concept. Yeah, and insofar that, and they didn't even rely on, they didn't rely on, Tainus is one thing.
So that was one thing. That was one area. Then the way it was planned with Mordechai and Esther, and how she planned to bring in Haman and the all the different Chazal that mentioned, try to catch him in the hole. Even from the Megillah, you see, how everything was worked out. She planned everything. There was no reliance on God. It was worked out, because that's the way a person is supposed to live. Perfected person doesn't rely on God. Perfected person, of course, tshuva and tefillah, that's one thing. Then they have to deal with reality. Now, this is on the contrary. Reality is the... reality. God is a source of reality. Man is in this reality. He's supposed to work within the reality, within the framework of reality. That's part of his perfection.
What?
The emotions. The emotions of certain religious people are really not in line with the whole mace of Purim. Because to them, it's simply your reliance on a miracle. See? And that's why when they see the planning with Mordechai and Esther and the Yisuda and this and catching him this way, catching him that way, all this type of planning, that sounds like, it sounds a little bit sacrilegious, as a matter of fact, to them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really religion. Sure. Why can't you rely on God? Just go into shul and daven and be tachan, and that's it. God isn't going to let Klal Yisrael get destroyed. What are you worrying about? You know, it's an impossibility. See? That is the emotion of certain religious people. But actually, in Yadis, you see clearly. I mean, Yadis holds that concept is absurd. That concept is absurd. Because, like we said before, that man is, this is God's reality. And man is, God placed us in this reality. That's Kedusha. For a person to work within the system of reality, that's Kedusha. That's a part of his life. That's a part of his essence, part of his nature. See, people consider really a contradiction, like the Chazal say about Yaakov Avinu. He prepared for three things. He prepared for Tefillah, he prepared for Doron, and he prepared for Mochama. See? So they look at it really as like a contradiction, sort of. He prepared for Tefillah, you know, is one, all right, that everybody seems to go along with. Doron, okay, with Mochama, I mean, Doron and Mochama really is reality. He had two methods of dealing with reality. See? Tefillah is also, there's no contradiction between the two. To many people, tefillah represents an escape from reality. You see, an escape from reality. Reliance on God represents an escape from reality. See, that miyadis doesn't exist. That person, those people, have their religiosity is based on an infantile emotionalism. It's like an escape from the problems of reality. It'll escape to God. See? But there's no such thing. I mean, Yadis, on the contrary, a person's supposed to work within reality. Tefillah is a rational thing. It relates to the Creator, because through his relation to the Creator, he reaches a certain level of Ashgacha, and therefore it will help him. But it's all one thing. It's all reality. There is no contradiction. There's no dichotomy. No two sides. And that you see clearly from the whole thing, the whole way the Megillah works. And that's why the Megillah was Kabbalah Me'ava. That's why it was Kabbalah Me'ava. Because the people study those personalities that were evolved, they studied them, the way they worked, and the way they acted, and they wrote. That was the whole thing of Ksivas and Megillah, really. That was the purpose of see Alkane at the end of the Megillah. You see how much it goes over and over. Alkane, Karm, Karyla, Yomela, Pur, Moshe, Pur, and then Alkane, the Divigas, Azos, and all that keeps going. Kimu, Bekiblu, Aleim, Valzarim, Valkon, Milfim, Achareim. See the Chaman, the Chazal say Kimu, Moshe, Kiblu, Gva. It's not just based on the words Kimu and Kiblu. I mean, that's the remez. But if you look at the end of the Megillah, you see this whole Kabbalah, tremendous Kabbalah. You can sense it just from the way the repetition. And that's what Chazal said was that was really a whole new concept of Yadis. So it was a whole renewal of Ma'ariv Kabbalah Satara. Why? It complemented Kabbalah Satara. Because Kabbalah Satara really was nisim that were done by God in order to set up a certain system, but the system didn't reach its fulfillment until Purim. In other words, the system works. The system was in existence. Maimon HaSinai is enough to put the system into existence, but that the purpose, the objective of the system, should be realized, that you require a Mordechai Vesta. Amazing, it comes out that Purim really is a yontif of Avas Hashem. Yeah, that's why they made so much out of it. Truth of the matter is, that the reason why they wasn't just, of course, the Nasta class, I would say, one thing, but the reason why they made a whole Yantafat, a whole question, they had a whole question whether they're allowed to do it. They consulted the Sanhedrin, how are you allowed to be Moshav on the Torah, the whole thing. But you see, and then Esther said, Kislun Ludoros. The whole purpose was because it wasn't just they were saved. It was the fact that it was a whole new Kabbalah Torah. That really is the essence of the day. See, without the philosophical perfection, the physical saving is worthless. But it was a time of total philosophical perfection. That was really the greatness of the day. That's why they were Kaveh the Yom. The word nace doesn't necessarily, there's two types of nisim. We're not saying that it doesn't come under the category of nace. Nace means when the Ashgacha is involved in saving Klal Yisrael. But there's two ways that the Ashgacha gets involved. One way that Ashgacha gets involved is because the people warrant the Ashgacha, they bring it about. And the other way is because it's God's will. See, Mitzrayim and Maamar HaSinai is because it's God's will. People didn't bring it about. But the over here in Purim was because the people brought it about. Nace means wherever the Ashgacha is involved. That's what Nace means.
So Hanukkah would be the other one.
Wherever it's definite Ashgacha.
Hanukkah is God.
Right. That's why Hashem's name is not in the Megillah, because it's a what they call a Nace Nistar. What does Nace Nistar mean? That's what Nace Nistar means. It means that it's the Ashgacha, but the Ashgacha is brought about through the perfection of the people. They brought it on. Yeah, that's good, right? That's good, right? Yeah, that's right. The Chazal said you must come back in two ways. Either there's a what are the Be'ita Achishena, right? That Zachul Be'ita, Lo Zachul was Zach Achishena, Zach Achishena, Lo Zachul Be'ita, right? So the thing is that there's two ways that it can come about. One way is through the people bringing it about. And the other way is through God's will. It has to come.
Is it right? What was?
It's brought about through God's will. It has to be an abrogation of the laws of nature because that's the only thing that impresses the people. So therefore, the laws have to be broken in order to impress the people. But when it's brought about by the people, so there's no need for the breach of the laws of nature. Question was raised, how did they know that it was the Ashgacha? There was a special Ashgacha of God's will.
People.
So the Gemara says, "Nafzainam af Megillah kimu lemaila masha kibu lemata." That you see that the Ashgacha was directly involved, and the Gemara says that that's how you know that Esther was written Baruch Kedesh.